Welcome to the Baby Weight Podcast, brought to you by Omaha Better Birth Project. Omaha Better Birth Project is a nonprofit organization. Our mission is to decrease inequities in childbirth by providing access to doula services, childbirth education, and prenatal and postpartum support for low-income and teen families. Find out more about Omaha Better Birth Project online at www.omahabetterbirth.org. We are so glad to have you join us on another episode of the Baby Weight Podcast. My name is Samantha Wall. I'm the Executive Director here at Omaha Better Birth Project, and I'm joined with Emily Seddon, our Associate Director. In today's episode, we are going to talk with Logan Dunn. She is a certified pediatric sleep consultant here in Omaha and the owner of Goodnight Nebraska. Previously an elementary school teacher before the birth of her son, Logan personally experienced the struggle of baby sleep, and from that, she decided to help others on this journey for better sleep.
Hi, Logan. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're really excited to dive into some baby sleep topics here. We kind of were chatting before this. I had a bad experience with my baby sleeping. It was unpleasant for everyone involved. So I'm really excited to learn all these tips and tricks and sort of, topics that we're going to talk about tonight. So thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Can you talk a little bit about how you got into baby sleep and why it interested you and what that process looked like to get you to this point?
Yes. So I have always loved sleep. I've always prioritized sleep in my life. And that was one thing my husband and I really were stressed about with having a baby. And so when we finally did have a child, we had heard all these horror stories about how we weren't ever going to sleep again and how, you know, we would be the most tired we've been in our entire lives. And we just decided to dive deep into the research and really look into what resources were out there for us so that that would not be us.
Yeah.
So, of course, the newborn phase, you know, newborns are newborns, and we struggled with that. But then as he started getting older, I started reading more about it, looking into programs, realizing that this is something that I am really interested in and really love. I'm a teacher by trade, and so I thought this would be a great profession for me to move into because it's all about teaching parents. And how to work with their child. So I went through My Sweet Sleeper, and now she has a Sweet Sleep Academy, and it's a program to train sleep consultants, and so they become a certified pediatric sleep consultant at the end of it, and it is 10 lecture modules, and then you have to do 50 practicum hours, and you learn from all different sleep consultants, and you listen in on all these different consultations, and you really learn everything. And then with this program, I have weekly mentorship calls, and I just am continuously learning about it. So that's what really got me into this profession. And now I've started my own business with Goodnight Nebraska. And my goal is to help people in the Omaha, Nebraska area with sleep because there's nothing around here with that. You can call these big company services and pay an obscene amount of money to get a one-on-one consultation. And I want to have something affordable that anyone can afford, and I can come into your home and help you.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It was actually my experience with my little ones and the extreme lack of sleep that our whole family had that I now highly prioritize my sleep. And that was the pushing factor for me. And I can't tell you how much better everyone's lives are when we sleep.
Absolutely.
It's done in a lot of cases. But I like how you spoke that you and your family, you know, prioritize sleeping, and that's kind of what got you into this. So I think that's great. Can you talk a little bit about some reasons that, a baby might struggle to sleep? Then let's dive into types of things that parents can do to assist their little ones.
Yes, of course. So There are so many reasons why babies can struggle with sleep. We all wake up throughout the night. No one sleeps through the night. We all have sleep cycles, and that could range for newborns. That could be every 30 to 40 minutes they wake up. And so when you're rocking them to sleep, then you lay them down in their bassinet or their crib, and then they wake up in that 30 to 40 minutes and they're like, wait, where am I at? Mm-hmm. And so then that's when they get up and they're just awake every 30 to 40 minutes because they're not sure where they are. And so that's why at around 5 months, they can start learning those self-soothing skills to transition and wake up, realize where they're at, and then go back to sleep just like we do every single night. If you ever look at your app on your phone, if you have an Apple Watch, it will say like you were up like 5 times last night, and you're like, no, I wasn't. You actually are. You wake up and then you go back to sleep because everything is normal, and we've trained ourselves to do that. So that is where I come in, and I can help you teach those self-soothing skills to your child. And that can be from no crying to some crying, however comfortable the parent is and what they want to do. But the main factors I see are overtired babies don't sleep well, and babies in a poor sleep environment. A lot of parents that I work with are concerned about creating dependencies with blackout curtains and noise machines. But those, you don't really form a habit until the age of 2 or 3 with that. And then you really can just slowly turn down the noise machine over time, or you can slowly open the shade over time, and then you can get them out of that dependency pretty quickly. But it's very crucial for babies and infants to have a complete black room where you can't see your hand in front of you, and also a noise machine just to block out all the extra noise. But the wake windows is what I really see is what is really leading to the poor quality sleep.
So the blackout curtains and the noise machine just help them when they have those moments of wakefulness to really go, oh, I'm okay. And then they close their eyes again. Yeah, that's incredible. And those are super simple tools that families can use.
It's even as cheap as you can put foil on your windows with water. You spray water, and foil will stick to the windows for years. And they are just as good as blackout curtains. Now, some people don't like the look of them, but if you're crunched on money, that is the perfect tool to do is foil. And then noise machines can cost like $10 at Walmart or on Amazon. So those are two things that I always say that you need to have successful sleep.
That's wonderful. You also spoke a little bit about awake windows. Can you kind of chat about that a little bit, what that means?
So awake windows are from the moment your baby wakes up and you get them out of the crib or bassinet to the moment that they are going back down in their crib or bassinet. And so for a newborn, that could be 30 to 60 minutes, and then up to 3 months, we look at 90 minutes. And then as time goes on, like a 12-month-old would be awake between 2 to 4 hours in between. And that kind of, separates those naps. And that's how you get from a handful of naps a day to 3 naps a day to 2 naps a day, because those awake windows become longer. When I know that my generation, it was you went to sleep when you were tired. And with awake windows, you really focus on knowing your child well enough and their age range. And you're like, okay, I think they can stay awake for 2 hours and I'm going to put them down. And they might not seem tired, but you'll notice that within 5 minutes, they fall asleep because that is their range. So awake windows are something that's become really popular with parents and a really good tool to gauge how long they should be awake between each nap, or between the morning and their first nap and their last nap and the end of the day. And it usually elongates throughout the day. Those shorter wake windows are the first between the wake and the first nap. And then the longest wake window is between the last nap and bedtime. So for example, my son is 15 months old and he does a 2-hour wake window, a 3-hour wake window, and a 4-hour wake window. And it works great for him.
Interesting. Okay. The other question I had too was kind of around wake windows. when my middle child was, we were kind of struggling to sleep and trying to figure that all of that out. I read somewhere that a lot of times kids get put to bed too late, that, you know, little ones should be in bed for the night by, say, 6 o'clock or something like that, like a lot sooner than what people would think. Is that kind of what you guys teach or what you teach as well? Have you heard of that before?
Absolutely. I see a lot of, with the overtiredness, I see a lot of too late of bedtime. Babies, newborns, for some reason, their sweet spot is either between 7 and 8 or 9 and 10. But that's the newborn phase. But once they hit 4 months old, you want them, the sweet spot is between 7 and 8 p.m. But it could be as early as 6 p.m., but you want no later than 8 p.m. It all kind of depends on their wake windows throughout the day and how they napped. If you're flexible enough, if you're staying home with your child, you can really, the schedule doesn't need to be consistent. It can be how they nap that day. So they could be going to bed at 6:15 one night, but the next night they could go to bed at 7 p.m. But if you're a consistent schedule with daycare and people watching your babies, usually they form that consistent schedule around 10 to 12 months, and you can really pinpoint when they need to go to bed, but usually it's between 7 and 8 p.m. But I see a lot of parents after 8 p.m. because they wait till their baby is tired.
I have, this is totally anecdotal, I don't have any research to back this up, but all of my friends, I will say that, you know, have the kids that sleep the most consistently, so the whole family sleeping, their kiddos go to sleep at like the latest is 7 p.m. And I always thought that was interesting because, yeah, when, and maybe it's our generation again, but 7 p.m. seems so early to me, but it works. And of course, you know, these families are families that their kids are going to daycare or something and have to stay on that sort of rigid schedule during the week. But man, that earlier bedtime, because in your mind you're thinking, okay, I want my kid to sleep tonight. I'm going to make them extra tired. I'm going to make them stay up late so they sleep all night long.
Mm-hmm.
That has never worked in my
family. Never for us.
It actually works the opposite.
Yeah.
Usually if you make them overtired, then they're going to wake up earlier.
And I dread those nights where we get home late. I dread them.
Yeah.
Even like, oh, the whole night's going to be off now.
Yeah. Yep.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else about sleep environments? You talked about, you know, the dark room, noise machine. Does that change over time? And what sort of changes do you see in the needs for the sleep environment over time?
The blackout curtains and the noise machine are consistent. You can use them for as long as you want. A lot of people, adults even, use fans overnight, and that is a noise machine in itself. And then dark, everyone sleeps better in the dark, right? So I see those consistent throughout childhood. Like I said earlier, if you're worried that your child is only going to be able to sleep in a pitch black room and with a noise machine, you can slowly transition them once they're off naps, because you really want to be able to live your life in your house, you know, and so you want to have that noise machine so that you don't have to be tiptoeing around your house. You want to make sure that they are getting that good sleep. But some other things, when they're a newborn and an infant, you really want a calming nursery. Nothing, you know, no mobile above their head, because that can be really stimulating and it's unsafe with the AAP. And then just not a lot of bright colors and not, you know, noisy toys. We want it to be a very, very calming environment. So really cool tone colors work best. But I haven't seen colors mess up too much, but you just want it to be a relaxing, just like we want our bedrooms to be relaxing and kind of spa-like. It just creates a better sleep environment.
Yeah. So what about routines? You kind of touched on this, but so you touched on how some families, you know, if they're staying home with their baby, their routines can be a little more flexible. But do you find that routines in general help with baby sleep?
Yeah, so I would say two different kinds of routines there. The first routine is nap time and bedtime routine, keeping it consistent so that they know that you are going, they're going to go to sleep and it's expected of them to go to sleep. So nap time and bedtime routine are very similar. Just bedtime routine usually involves a bath once in a while. But I would say they're usually around 10 to 30 minutes, depending on the child and the family. And that can even be at daycare. If you bring a sleep sack with them, you know, putting on that sleep sack, having a bottle, and then laying down, that's a routine right there. Usually daycares are very consistent with routines. I see that they're more consistent than at home usually because they have a schedule that they have to go through. But even at home, a bedtime routine and a naptime routine are crucial because if your child is playing or doing something fun with their siblings and you just pick them up and put them in a crib, if we did that with ourselves, if you're in the middle of doing dishes and I said, okay, go to sleep, and you would just be like, what am I doing, right? Okay. So those bedtime routines and those naptime routines are really crucial in transitioning to sleep mode. And then they're like, oh, right, I'm going to bed right now. So an example of bedtime routine could be a bath and then lotion or a baby massage, pajamas, sleep sack on, read a book, have a bottle, turn the noise machine on, sing a lullaby, put them down. That could be your bedtime routine, yeah, as long as you keep it consistent. Oh, no. And it could be as simple as put pajamas on, put a sleep sack on, turn the noise machine on, lay them down. But if it's the same every night, they'll know that that's the transition. But then the other routine is those awake windows and keeping your routine throughout the day and making sure that while they're awake, they're getting physical activity, whether that's floor time, tummy time, walking, crawling, and then some nutrition in there and some just one-on-one or attention time. If you fill those awake windows with those three things, then that's a routine in and of itself of awake time as well. So routines are very important just with children in general. They usually, if they know what's expected of them, they usually behave really well and they can perform it really well.
Yeah. So at what age or maybe developmental milestones or whatever should parents really be concerned of, you know, like you said, a newborn, we're kind of at their beck and call when they need to eat, they need to eat. At what age or developmental stage can we really go, okay, now we can really start focusing on starting to help with sleep and getting back to sleep in the middle of the night and that sort of thing?
So there's a lot of people out there that say 4 months or 5 months. I like to lean more towards the 5 month, but if anyone knows the 4 month sleep regression, when these babies are making so much connections in their brain and they're just learning so much, and that's what's really causing that 4 month sleep regression. So a lot of people want to tackle it then. But I just feel like 5 months, they know a lot more. They can understand more. They know their environment more. So I like 5 months. You can start teaching them those self-soothing skills. However, you can start that good sleep foundation from the moment you bring them home from the hospital. You can, the second they start crying, try to learn what they're crying for. Let them try to, you know, figure out maybe they just need to move a little bit. And then really always feed them when they're hungry, when they're a newborn, obviously. But maybe just give them that moment to try to figure it out on their own. And then as they get older to that 5 month range, that's when you can really try to give them that opportunity to fall back asleep or to see what they can do to soothe themselves back down and to learn that they're okay in their crib and that they can sleep. But I would say you can start from the first day, but your first priority should be to get those days and nights, you know, sorted out, but you can then start to work on, you know, letting them learn how to transition, but definitely 5 months would be the start.
Okay. I definitely remember my daughter, she wasn't very old, and I remember hearing her in her crib, and it was kind of that like whiny cry, and my husband's like, should we go get her? I'm like, no, let's just see what she does. And, you know, she wasn't in any distress. It was more of just like, okay, what's going on here? And she did, she figured it out and she went back to sleep. And I wouldn't even say she really cried. She was just whiny a little bit. But then sometimes, you know, she really got ramped up and we're like, okay.
Absolutely. I never want a baby to be in distress, right? No parent wants their baby to be in distress. So that's why we learn our babies from day one, and we can really tell whether they're hungry or whether something's wrong, or maybe they're just getting situated again.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Let's talk about safe sleep a little bit. Obviously, a very important topic for parents with little ones. Can you talk a little bit about some of the highlights of what safe sleep means and what it incorporates in you know, an average family's life with a newborn?
Absolutely. So first, back is best is what the AAP recommends. Laying your baby on their back is most important, especially even if they're on their bellies when they sleep and they're rolling. We always want to lay them on their back no matter what. That is the safest thing. Also, swaddling. Swaddling is great, but the first signs of rolling, we want to transition out of the swaddle. And then the flat, firm surface, the mattress or the crib of the mattress. I'm sorry, the mattress of the crib or the bassinet or pack and play. Those flat, firm surfaces are the safest. And giving them that their own individual sleep space is what the AAP recommends. But those little things about sleep environment that a lot of people overlook is monitor cords by the crib. Those should be covered with, it's like $5 at Home Depot. You can get this plastic that sticks to the wall and the cord hides in it. And then any outlet that's being used in the nursery should have a cover on it that you can like open and still use, but it should be completely covered because we don't want babies pulling them out. And then all furniture should be anchored. Dressers, bookshelves, all should be anchored because we want the nursery to be a safe space for them in the crib and out of the crib. So those are all very important things. And nothing hanging above the crib. Mobiles are really popular, picture frames or names above the crib, just in case that they don't fall down, you know, in the middle of the night. We don't want anything.
Good point. I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, I hear all of those other, you know, common, you know, the sleep surface and laying baby on their back and stuff, but nobody said anything about the hanging stuff, especially stuff on a wall. I wouldn't have even contemplated. So, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good information.
I mean, as parents, we listen to the monitor, right? So we would hear if something fell, but we also want to just avoid anything that could happen.
Yeah. At that point, damage is already done. So
exactly.
I want to kind of digress a little bit back because I just have this, like, what I hear from parents all the time, they want to talk about the sleep regressions, like you were saying, the 4 month sleep regression. And I always thought, like you said, you know, the regression is because due to like this high burst of like intellectual like capacity, right? We're learning all these things. So a lot of times people want to do all these crazy things to try to get through this sleep regression. And it's really just a regression is just an overtired baby. Is that right? Like
a regression, typically when I learned and when I went through sleep consulting, my courses, they talked about how regression is a progression, really, because it's a positive thing. And it's your baby hitting milestones and really learning. And so what happens is those babies are so excited to roll over or so excited to start crawling or standing or walking. And then when do they want to practice those? During the night. And so they're not sleeping and mom and dad aren't sleeping. And so that's what causes a tired baby. And that's because they're so excited. They're learning all these things are connecting in their brain. And that's what's causing. Now, some babies don't have a regression. It doesn't affect their sleep. And some they go back to being a newborn. They're waking up every 30 to 40 minutes. But if you've built that strong sleep foundation, it should last you a couple of days to a couple of weeks, and then they'll go right back to normal as long as you stay consistent.
Wonderful. I like how you reframe that and, you know, reframe it in your mind as a positive, thing that they're reaching in their life. That's a good way to put it, but it can be hard to remember that in the moment. But if you can go into it with that sort of mindset of, okay, I know this is going to happen or is likely to happen,
you know, it's a good thing. It's okay.
Yeah. It's only for a little bit of time.
Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to touch on, you talked about swaddling. My kiddos loved swaddling. Do you see any difference or a benefit one way or the other between swaddling with a blanket or using a swaddle sack that sort of zips them up or Velcros them in?
I personally love the Velcro, right? Or, you know, the zip or the Velcro, just because of the safety aspect of it. Okay. And the tightness of it. My favorite swaddle is the Ollie swaddle. It's a brand OLLIE. It's very hard to find because it's always out of stock because it's so popular, but it has the biggest amount of Velcro and it grows with your child and it's just one size versus all those other halo sacks with the swaddles. They go through them so quickly and they have to change. And this one is an open bottom so you can change a diaper and not take them out of the swaddle, which is amazing in the middle of the night.
Yes, definitely.
But I just like it because with a regular blanket, if they move, you don't know if that blanket has fallen, you know, or if it's above the face. And the swaddle should be below their shoulders and so that they really can't have that movement in their arms. But speaking of swaddles, I see a lot of parents who are like, my kid hates the swaddle. My kid absolutely hates the swaddle. That's the reflex, right? No one likes to be contained at the start, but it is such a good tool as a newborn. It's crucial with getting good quality sleep because they have that reflex, right? That brings their arms up to their face and the motor reflex. And with the swaddling, that keeps it nice and tight. And then they're not startling themselves awake every 30, 20 minutes with that reflex. So stay consistent. I know they'll scream, but they'll calm down and they will love that swaddle and you will love that swaddle even more.
My favorite was, and it was a game changer with my second baby, and it was a sized one. So that was a bit of an irritation. I can't remember the name of it. I want to say it was like Sweet Pea Pod or I don't know, Peas in a Pod. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was so snuggly, like it was so snug on them, and it was a zip one. And previously I had really liked the Velcro ones with the big Velcro, you know, so that really holds them in there. But man, that zip up one when they were so tiny was fantastic. My baby liked it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and what's better than like releasing a swaddled baby in the morning and there they stretch and it's just like, oh, I could eat you.
I literally was looking at a video of my son the other day of him getting out of his swaddle.
It's the best. So
good.
All right. Well, we're kind of rounding out the interview. I wanted to know, though, if you could pick one thing that is your like favorite resource or your favorite strategy, something that you think is like relatively foolproof for helping baby sleep, what is the one thing that you think is like the most important?
Awake windows. 100% awake windows. I know it's not as easy to just think, but you don't need anything else. If you can, you know, hone in on those wake windows, you'll have a happier, well-rested baby, and then you're well-rested and everyone is just happier. So I just tweaking those awake windows can be a game changer for your family.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Logan. This was awesome. It was just really eye-opening, oddly enough. But I just wanted to say thank you for coming on the podcast. And if you want to let people know how they can get a hold of you in the Omaha area and kind of, I noticed on your website, you have a couple different services that you can provide. Kind of chat about that for just a second, and then we'll let you get back to your baby.
Perfect. Yes. I am on Instagram and Facebook at Goodnight Nebraska. And you can always email me at goodnightnebraska@gmail.com. I offer hourly, weekly, and monthly consultation packages. You don't need to purchase anything before you get those. Those are just the basic courses that I have for you. They're one-on-one. They can be in person if you're in the Omaha area, or they can be virtual if you're not in the Omaha area. And the hourly is just 1 hour. One-on-one, we'll create a sleep plan for you and your baby. And then the weekly. We just, you have unlimited texts and emails throughout the week with me during business hours. So you, we can work through a lot of issues during that and, you know, go back and forth. And then the month is just 4 weeks of that. And you really get a lot more resources, a lot more time with me, and we can really get your baby on the right track, sleeping through the night, or how, whatever your goals for your baby are.
That's fantastic. Thank you again, Logan. I really appreciate it. And we'll look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Yes, thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Baby Weight Podcast. If you want to learn more about Logan Dunn and Goodnight Nebraska and how maybe you can improve your baby's sleep for your whole family, check out the show notes for all the links. If you'd like to learn more about Omaha Better Birth Project and how you can support our cause, visit us online at omahabetterbirth.org. Don't forget to subscribe.